Today, I'd like to talk to the family. Not preaching, but just talking to the family today. I know family matters are always very, very sensitive. But somehow, as your pastor, I need to speak some things. Not necessarily about anybody. I'd like to you to turn your Bibles with me. I'd like to talk to you about making home a place of peace and healing. Turn your Bibles with me to our scripture reading, Genesis 37, 22 to 28. Read a part of it. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands. 21. And said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid them out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat, that pretty coat, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, praise the Lord, and there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lift up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it that we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" Father, your word, we ask you to guide them to our hearts, and may they bear fruit as we speak, for Christ's sake. With their 13th wedding anniversary just about approaching, Ron asked his wife, Sylvia, how she wants to celebrate the occasion. "Would you like to have a new mink coat?" Ron asked. "Not really," she responded. "Well, how about a new Porsche or a Benz?" "No thanks." "What about a new vacation home in the country?" "No." "Well, what would you like for your anniversary?" "I would like a divorce." Ron replied, "Sorry, honey, I wasn't planning to spend so much money." "Another happy home for sale. One more love has failed. Two fools have tried, but they have so much pride in their hearts that they refuse to give in. No matter how much they argue and fight, reason and rationalize, they know that both cannot win. We know that both cannot win in a family, husband and wife. In every marriage, one is right and one is wrong. But if we learn to forgive, we would overcome and our relationship would grow stronger. How can we have a happy home, a place of peace and healing, when there are so many external forces fighting against the family? Education, jobs, money, and some wives are not submissive to their husbands anymore." And somebody talked to me. "Because they are working more money than their husbands. Some of us sacrifice families for education. Our wives and children, our husbands and children will have to take the back burner until I finish my studies. My husband cannot touch me during certain times because I'm dealing with my books. He will have to wait until my... And the reverse is true also. And I'm not saying education is not important. These are some of the reasons why some houses do not have peace. There are some houses that they have two heads. But the Bible speaks about one head for the family. And that this is not a head that seek to rule over the wife and try to manipulate and overrule and being overburdened. This is not the kind of head. The kind of head is the head like Jesus. That cares, that understands, that forgives. That kind of head. The biblical foundation of marriage says that man should be the head of the house. Is that true? And gentlemen, many of us, we have given up our responsibilities as head of the family. Some of us become sperm donors. There are those men who litter the place with children, but they do not care for them. And so we also have single mothers littering the place. No disrespect to many single mothers, and especially those who play the role of both mothers and fathers, and those who are victims of circumstances. We respect these mothers. What do you say about that? Yes. However, the single parent route is not God's ideal. Can the church say amen? God's desires for both husband and wife, to be there for their children, to train and guide them. Young ladies, I would want you to be wise up. Wise up. Do not allow any man to use you, misuse you, and leave you. And if I were a woman, and I know I have to be very careful here now, some men could not get me. Some young men could not get me. Believe it. What do I mean by that? Some men who are on the corners, needing the handmills. Some men with their pants down someplace. Hello? They can call to me, but I wouldn't stop. We need to value ourselves, young people, young ladies. We need to know who we are, given the times in which we live. We need to know that we are Seventh-day Adventists, God's people. Even some, you don't know what to call them. And not that you don't value people, but we should not drop our standard. But we should be people of high moral standing. And so, young people, you are valuable. Single people, you are valuable. People who are divorced, you are valuable. Jesus loves you. There are also some of our people who have some unusual sexual appetite. Strange. And even some people who claim to be Seventh-day Adventist Christian, they eat their breakfast, their lunch, their supper on porn sites. This is via heaven. So they believe that the Lord says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy sight. He accepted them with that kind of behavior. I think he wants to change you. Amen. The truth is that as Christians, the time that we spend on these sites could be used in a more productive way to tell somebody about Jesus. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, young or old, male or female, paraphrasing, single or married, whatever things that are true, whatever things that are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, we should think on these things. Families of Andrews, Colossians 13 verse 3 says, we are to set our affection on things above and not on things on earth. How about our decorum, our value, our behavior? We should be young men and young women of high moral standing, as I've said before. The following should not be named among us. Young people need to know Jesus. Older folk need to know Jesus also. Our children, almost every day they witness fights in their communities. Fights between mothers and fathers. Yes, that happened. And some men, some women beat up men too. Not just men abuse women. Women abuse men too. Fights between husband and wives. Wars and bloodshed. They see it on the TV in their communities. When I was a boy, school was a sweet place of learning and fun. Isn't that so? Today children go to school as if they are going to war. Instead of books, they carry knives and guns. Today, our schools have to employ deans of discipline. Parents, we have given up our responsibilities to train our children. We turn them over to teachers and TV. So we sow the wind and we reap the whirlwind. And I'm not saying that the school and the church cannot help, but the first work of parents, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Would you say that what is happening in our schools is a symptom of what is happening in our homes? How can we make our homes place of peace and healing when members of our very household can make life so difficult? But like everything else, if we are willing to follow God, he will give us direction. To make our homes place of peace and healing, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. How can we discard war and plan for peace? How can we promote peace when there are war all around us? What would you say is the first step towards having peace in our homes? Number one, we will have to make a decision that we want that peace. Amen? Number two, we need to be more gentle. Some of us, even some of us men, we are too rough and crude. And some people would say we need to be rubbed down with some kind of sandpaper. Is it number one or zero? I don't know. We need to understand that a soft answer. Turn it away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You can't follow your wife sometimes. What do I mean by that?
If she say A, you say B, C, D. Understand, gentlemen, that how ladies, how women function. Understand that. And ladies, understand how men function. A word fitly spoken, Proverbs 25:11. Spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. That's what the scripture says. But how we forget so easily when the anger boils. We need to remember these things. When we are upset, when we are vexed, we forget all of this. It is gone through the window. Women speaks over 5,000 words per day. So sometimes all they want us to do is to listen. Is that true, ladies? And if we do, there will be more peace at home. Ephesians 4:3, let us read together. It says, endeavoring to do what? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yes, we need a bond of peace to hold us together. When we think about a bond, we think of something that holds us together like a rope. Are you hearing me? What are the strands of this peace rope that can hold our families together? They are patience. Amen. One of them. Patience. Some of us are too hasty. Humility. Gentleness. And bearing with one another in love. The least little thing, you're gone into another room to sleep. Some houses are too big. Stay. Work out the situation, brethren. And even if you're not so chummy, like if Mr. Lewis and I have a misunderstanding, and I'm not so chummy, but we work it out to the point where we're fairly civil. And then tomorrow we can work it out. But I'm not sleeping down at our feet. Are you hearing me? I'm working it out to the point where we can feel each other's breath. Amen. Yes, it's true. It's true. Only if I'm being stuffy, maybe with the fan or something, I will change my position. But outside of that, I am there, not giving up. Amen. Abuse, verbal, physical, emotional, is the order of the day, even in some Seventh-day Adventist families. Let me share two such stories with you. One is temporal and one is biblical. Listen to the temporal one first. Robert Tisland was a powerful pulpit pounding preacher. He had schooled a 31-year-old wife, Lucy, and 5 children in an unwavering subjection to his demands. He expected perfection from them all. He said he beat them regularly to accomplish this, including their 7-year-old 25-pound blind and deaf brain damaged son. And when the child died, Lucy grieved, but Robert beat her before and after the funeral, saying that her sin had caused this imperfect child. Her response was, "He's my husband, and I knew I was supposed to follow his decision. And yet, married, the Bible says you are to obey your husband." Right from the start, he was the boss. "Wives, be subject to your husband as unto the Lord." That was this gentleman's main verse. despite the violence. He bragged that there were no problem in their marriage. She went nowhere without his permission and had only 25 cents in her purse for a phone call. She never wore slack or makeup except when he permits it to cover the bruise that he has created. And although he was such a terrible man, his wife referred to him as pastor or sir. Some of us are like that, you know, when something that going wrong, meddling. When something's not going right. But outside of that, honey, darling, sweetie pie. One day he came home furious. His questionable relationship with a 14-year-old girl at the church school had been found out. When Lucy questioned him about it, he beat her 3 different times, beat the children, and then with a wild look in his eyes, went to bed. She would never see the light of another morning, he said, for he indeed going to kill her. And while he slept, she pulled the loaded revolver out from under his pillow, where he always kept it, opened his eyes and began to move towards her. Then she shot him and took the children to a friend's house and called the police. When you have trouble in your families, and we're not encouraging anybody to shoot their spouse. No. When you have trouble in your families, and your spouses cannot work it out, cannot work out the difficulties, and when there are more war than peace, it is time to see a Christian counselor. Some of you believe that if you go to the counselor, something bad is going to happen, especially our men. It can change the picture to a positive situation, gentlemen. Do not allow it to end in bloodshed and murder like Lucy and Robert. Our scripture reading comes in here now. The biblical story of Joseph. His family. There was war in the family. Abuse started because this father loved that child more than the rest of the other children. He was a son of his old age. or when you're drinking something and the last is left in the bottom, what do you call that? Dregs? This boy was his dregs. Yes, he furnished him with all the goodies that he did not give the rest of them. And so they hated him with a passion. And although it might be hard to understand, but there should be no partiality in the way we treat our children. You should not run this one and say, you're ugly like your black pooper. Don't do that. Most of his brother Joseph were thinking about killing him. But thank God for Reuben. They dumped him into a pit. Thank God no water was in it. Then they sold him to the Ishmaelite traders, who in turn sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. They went home and lied to their dad about his whereabout. This caused tremendous grief for their father. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He became prime minister of Egypt. And in the time of drought, he was wise enough to store a lot of food. People from everywhere went to Egypt to buy food, including their brothers, his brothers. And when they went to Joseph, Joseph identified them, but they did not know that he was Joseph. Joseph gave them the food and put back their money in their bags. In other words, he forgave them Right there, healing started to take place. If you were Joseph, what would you do? Would you forgive them for hurting you so much, for abusing you so much, for such injustice? In order for our homes to have peace and healing, forgiveness is most important. You agree to that? Wives and husbands, within the hearing of my voice, are you willing to forgive your spouses for the wrong they have done to you? Healing cannot take place if we have bitterness and forgiving hearts. I want to think that the reason why Joseph was so successful is because it was not, he didn't have bitterness in his heart for his brothers. There are a lot of hurting husbands and wives and children around us. We are desperately in need of help, but we will have to forgive. We need to know that when we do not forgive, we are destroying ourselves. We need to make a conscious effort to change the things we can change, including my attitude and my spouse's and my children. If I am the reason why we cannot be at peace, what is the reason why we cannot be at peace? Then I need to accept the things I cannot change and ask God to give me the wisdom to know the difference. Colossians 3:19 says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In order to balance the equation, I need also to say, wives, love your husbands and be not bitter against them. If there is no peace in the house, in your relationship, I implore you to work a little harder at it, along with prayer. What do you say about that? May I ask, how would you treat your body or anything you have in your life that is of importance that is not working well? If you hear a strange noise coming from your car, would you try to locate the source and fix it yourself if you can? Or get a professional mechanic? We should follow the same principle by getting a plumber for a leak if we have a leak in the kitchen. How about your marriage that is falling apart? How about your house? Is it a place of war or a place of peace? If it is a place of war, tap into the ever possible resource you can find in Jesus. Remember that you and your spouse can always find time for prayer. And if I have a misunderstanding with my wife, I will try my best to make it up. Make it up. And some of us, we don't behave like we are married. A matter of fact, the research has shown that people not into this marriage business anymore of such. Did you know that? People are satisfied with shocking up. That's what the stats is saying. And I hope that is not affecting the church. I just hope so. You know, I know a little church in Port Antonio when I was pastoring over there that we call Battle Factory. Every Sunday there was a wedding at Battle Factory. Young people getting married. You notice that young people not getting married nowadays? And I'm not forcing anybody to get married. I'm not doing that. God bless. How many people are married since I come here? How many young persons? What is happening? I am just hoping that you're not enjoying the things what married people should be enjoying. And that's not the reason why you're not getting married. I just hope so. And some people, have you ever heard some married people said, somebody take away their spouse? No, I can't understand that. If you are a child, I can understand. But a big person, somebody just take you away, sir. I can't understand that. Personally, I work hard for my lady, for my wife. Work hard. Are you hearing me? She played hard to get, so I had to work hard to get her. And I guess some of you also had to work hard to get your spouses. And you're going to allow just any and anybody to come and just take her away and just take him away, sir. You never work hard for her. You never work hard for him. Eh? Do not allow that to happen. Fight for your marriage. And I don't mean physical fight. Are you hearing me? Not physical fight, but fight for your marriage. Fight to keep your marriage for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. It's not so, it's just smooth sailing from uptown to downtown. Are you hearing me? And young people, if you don't decide to get married, then that's fine. Ask God to give you strength to be faithful. Amen. It's not easy. And don't tell me that you don't have urges. You have it. God gave it to all of us. So by God's, you have to put your hands, your emotions, your feelings, everything in the hands of God, so that no man or no woman don't derail you. Am I touching the nerves? Today, our place can be a place of peace. But if you are not living on your knees daily, this will not happen. And I guarantee you, every 5 o'clock or within that region, these knees and my wife's knees are down there praying for the families of this church. Believe it, every day. You want to hide and come and look one day? Believe it, it's true. Because we are burdened. Yes. It's their husband, a wife, a mother, a single person like Joseph, who have not yet given their life to the Lord. And today you want to do so. Today you want to commit your family. You want your family to be a family of peace. So, there may be those who have peace, but you want God to keep that peace. Will you stand with me? You have the peace. You have the peace, but you want God to keep that peace. Yes, you want God to keep that peace. There may be those who don't have so much peace, and you want God to give you that peace. And there may be also those who would like to raise a family of peace. You haven't started yet. You haven't started yet. But you want God to give you a family of peace. Is there anybody down here like that? You want to come forward for special prayer? You have the intention to start a family sometime in the future. And you want that peace in that family. I invite you for special prayer. Is there anybody down here like that? You intend to start a family sometime in the future. Don't hide. Come. Who want to laugh? Let them laugh. Your desire is to start a family, and you want that family to be a family of peace. God can give you that peace, my brother. God can give you that peace, my sister. Yes. Bless you. Yes. Where are the young men? Young men, you don't have any intention of starting any family? Come to. We need that peace. We need that peace in the family. We need that healing. Maybe people here who are hurting. I don't know what your situation is, but you need special prayer. Because you have an issue that is hurting you. I know you don't want people to know, but this facade thing, we need to put it up and make right with God and with each other. Put it up. Put away the pretense and ask God for healing and peace. He will give it. He will give it. Come. Let's pray about it. There's nothing that is so difficult that God cannot heal. No situation so bad. No marital situation. No family situation with the children that is so bad that God cannot heal. Let's bow our heads to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, response at first is for those who are planning to have a family sometime in the future. And they want peace in that family. Lord, may you make them also an instrument of your peace so that they can have peace in the family. May you strengthen them. May you help that they will be forgiving persons so that they can have this peace. May they fall in love with the Prince of Peace so that they can have peace. Lord, there are those who have trouble in their families, trouble with their children, trouble with their spouses, trouble with their neighbors, trouble with their extended family. Oh God, we pray that you will ride into these homes to bring hope and peace and life. There are those, Lord, who may be on the verge of divorcing. We pray, dear God, that your Spirit will come and intervene so that they can talk it over. There are those who have turned away from their family. May you bring them back. You have promised that you will bring back the heart of the fathers to their children. Oh God, we ask you to do that for Andrews. May your Spirit bond us, draw us close together with that cord of peace, that cord of patience, that cord of forgiveness, that cord of love. Oh God, heal our families, forgive us, and make us be the kind of people you want us to be, so we will have your name in our hearts. When trouble comes, Lord, help us to seek your Spirit to deal with the matters. Strengthen us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you.